Hey, greetings, everybody. It's Brother Tupos, stoneparish.com, John 424 Radio. Hey, I want to bring you some thoughts today, and a teaching came to mind about a week ago when a young man emailed me and asked me about van life and the life of a Christian. Today, I want to talk about five reasons van life is great for followers of Christ. Five reasons that van life is great for the followers of Christ. As I said, I had a young man pondering his life, figuring things out, asking me about van life. So I told him I'd do an audio on it. There's a whole bunch of reasons that Sister Amin and I have come to find van life to be beneficial. But I came up with five main ones with some scripture verses. And these five really seem to help us. These would be like the most critical ones. And before I give you my points and my verses, I want to share something with you. I want to be very clear here. You don't have to be in van life to serve Christ, and it's not the best way to serve Christ. Never said that, never meant that. Hope I never come across that way. But maybe this list that I give you from my life, our life, will inspire you to look at your life, how you live, where you live, your living arrangements, and then maybe it'll inspire you to figure out the ways that your current lifestyle actually have advantages for serving Christ, for you to focus on, build upon, and become strength to you. Does that make sense? We'll talk about that in the end. That's my goal here, is to encourage you in my lifestyle so then I can encourage you in your lifestyle, okay? All right, so I want to go through my five lists, my 5 points of my list, and these are the ones that help us focus on Christ most of all in this nomadic van life. Ready? Here we go. Number one, freedom, which includes freedom to do many things like preach the gospel. As nomadic van dwellers, we changed our lifestyle, sold our homestead to go do this. What we find is we have absolute freedom to travel, to be where we need to be, to go to places, to speak the truth, to preach the gospel in the streets, to move daily. We get to meet lots of people. It's like every single day is pretty much a new place for us for the most part, because we stay at a lot of free places where we're customers and they let us camp. So we stay, but it's never a long-term thing. Not like we rent a campground for a month or anything. So we're always moving. And this helps us meet new people, spread the gospel. And we talk about this all the time, it's very helpful for us as we move a lot to not be settled in to a life here on this earth like we were kind of on our homestead. Now, that can be an advantage for you. You need to think about that. If that's your situation, that can definitely be an advantage for you. But for us, we find the advantage traveling, being free, preaching the gospel, being set free from this earthly life and its concerns. And, you know, I heard somebody say something not long ago. They said they got a job. They had a college education. They got a job. They had a house. They got all kinds of things. Like everybody says, you need a boat, a camper, four-wheelers, all this kind of stuff. And this man said, my things were consuming me. That's what he said. My things were consuming me. So we really relate to that. We got rid of a lot of things to be free. And my scripture verse for this would be John 8:31-32. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, see that faith and works right there? Then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Isn't that awesome? The truth of God sets us free. And then we can live our life in a way also that freedom permeates us and allows us to share it with more people. Does that make sense? All right, number one was freedom. Number two, frugal ways. These all begin with the letter F, by the way. Frugal ways. All right, now in van life, doing it the way we do it, we're self-funded. We don't ask people for money. We don't take people's money. We don't take donations. We don't have donations all over our website like all these ministries. This requires you, and also neither Sister Amin or I work a job. I retired early, and I worked my whole life to support us. So This requires you to live very frugal and simple when it comes to money, many other things as well, because we don't want to be a burden to anyone else. Apostle Paul worked. He didn't want to be a burden. And so what this teaches us, being frugal, is to use God's resources with great, great wisdom to help us to be what? Good stewards. Yeah, I did a teaching on that. You can go check it out at the teaching blog. The Bible talks about being a good steward, all right? And so we know that the Bible teaches this too, ready? To the servants that are faithful in a few things, God will give you more and give you much to be faithful in and to serve him. So we believe in that. So that's what we strive to do. And so van life has taught us to be very frugal. We got to be frugal with water. We got to be frugal with food because we can only bring so much with us. We got frugal with our money, frugal with gas, frugal with our time, frugal with what we brought with us, because you can't bring a lot of stuff with you in van life, right? And so it's a very uncomplicated life. So frugality, very, very important. Luke 12:42. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make him a ruler over his household to give him their portion of meat in due season? So that servant was faithful and the ruler is going to reward him. So number one was freedom. Number two was frugal. We like being frugal in all things, money, material, time, everything that we do. We try to be very frugal and efficient for the Lord. Van life has taught us that. Number three, ready? Forsaking this life. Here's another important one. In order to be in Christ and then be in the van life, you had to have to forsake much. I know we all have forsaken our sin and the world already. I get it. We've repented, we're following Christ. But to do that and then move into full-time ministry in van life, it takes a lot more forsaking. We've had to leave many things behind us. You can't bring a lot with you, as I said in an earlier point. We left our old careers. We left worldly and religious family members. We had to leave grandchildren behind that were taken away from us because of our faith. We left our lands behind, homes behind, material things behind. Everything. If I didn't mention careers, we left that behind. All our dreams, things we wanted to do, you know, in your flesh. Oh, I've always wanted to do this. You got to leave all that behind for Christ. And again, as saints, I know we all have forsaken our sin and forsaken the world. I get that. But in van life, it's like another level. And you really learn to forsake. It's like you bring everything with you that you have. Looking at my gospel van and I go, that's everything I got right there. And it causes you to forsake this life. And the Bible is full of teachings of forsaking this life. Many people claim to be Christians and they haven't forsaken this life. They still got a lot of stuff. Now, I want to be clear when I say you got a lot of stuff. You can have stuff, but it doesn't own you. But look at the rich man with Jesus. He had a lot of stuff and it owned him. That man I just told you about, he said, my stuff was consuming me. Yeah. Hey, how about me? I had a homestead. Okay, maybe some people could have a homestead and it never begins to consume them or overtake them or become too much of a focus for them. Maybe they can do that. Maybe they can pull that off. For me, that homestead became like an anchor. It started to become kind of like a mini idol. It began to take up too much of my attention, time, resources, focus. And I told Sister Amin, it's got to go. So we forsook it. Sold it and used the resources to fund our ministry. So forsaking this life, van life has taught us to forsake this life and the things of this life and people of this life and ways of this life, all of this. Luke 14:33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Go read that, Luke 14:33. If we don't forsake everything, now, that doesn't mean you always got to give up everything. God wants us to forsake everything for him, and sometimes we get to keep it. Sometimes we get to use it. If it's not sinful, we get to keep it. But we better be ready to forsake it. Let me give you an example of that. I have a wife, Sister Amin. I love her dearly. Guess what? She knows this. I love the Lord more than I love her. And if she turned away into sin and wouldn't repent, and it would cause a division in our marriage, and she was no longer pleased to dwell with me, I would forsake her for the Lord. She knows that. Now, because the Lord knows I would forsake her, I get to keep her right now because she is serving the Lord and we get to be partners in ministry. So see, some things we can already say, I would forsake that, but we get to keep it. And so same thing would go for me with her. I know she loves the Lord more than me. And if I would forsake the Lord and not be pleased to dwell with her and be in sin, she would forsake me for the Lord. But for now, we get to be together. So forsaking, number three. So we had freedom, we had frugality, we had forsaking. Let's move on to number four, flesh killing. Yeah, in van life, especially in ministry, it's really easy in this existence, as minimal as it is, your flesh can get in the way. You got to kill it. Oh, there's a lot of things that get in the way about your flesh. And you got to be willing to kill that and put it away. In this van life, it's cramped. It's really simple. You have very little extra, not a lot of conveniences. You don't get 20-minute showers. You get like a 1-gallon shower, and it's outside in a pop-up tent for the most part. You got to do a lot of flesh killing. You live in noisy parking lots. You bake in the sun sometimes. You get cold. You get wet. You get the police called on you. You get threatened when you're out doing ministry. You get run off. You meet suspect, dangerous, strange people that could do you harm or could steal from you. All types of things. So the van life has taught us to be really on guard with our flesh killing. And so many things now we look at and we just go, whatever. Doesn't even affect us. Whereas when we were living a life outside of van life and full-time ministry, some of that stuff would have freaked us out a little bit. Now it's like, whatever. We see it all the time. We're used to that. That's nothing. So Galatians 5:24-25, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So you got to walk in the Spirit. You got to crucify your flesh. You got to kill it so you can serve Christ. Van life helps you do that in so many ways. You can't bring a lot of clothes with you. You don't get big, long showers. You hardly get showers but a couple times a week. That's just how we live. It's a lot simpler. You don't get the ability to cook all the big meals like you probably used to cook. Here's a big one, like Sister Amin, it always gets her. You can't grow all your own food and can and cook and make homemade bread. Can't do that stuff anymore. I can't be out hunting and fishing and cutting firewood and building barns and building projects on the homestead. Can't do that anymore. All I can do is some projects on the van to keep us going down the gospel road. So flesh killing, very, very critical in every aspect of life. Van dwelling has taught us to really kill our flesh, rein it in. And guess what? As we get older, we both have health problems and they seem to be getting worse and they seem to be coming more and more. We realize this flesh is dying. It's easier to kill your flesh when you see your flesh is dying because you know I can't rely on this for very long. How many years do I have left? Not that many. So I want to focus on things above, focus on things eternal. So does Sister Amin. I know all you saints do as well that are listening. So we had, number one was freedom. Number two was frugal ways. Number three was forsaking this life. Number four was flesh killing. Last one, ready? I could come up with 50, but these were my top five. Future focused. Yeah, we're future focused. So living in a van, this nomadic lifestyle, traveling all over, preaching the gospel all over America, witnessing all over in the streets, religious buildings, events, one-on-one, doing ministry online, discipling people all over the world. Yeah, we know saints, a small handful of saints scattered around the world that we have fellowship with. And you know what? It's a blessing to communicate with brothers and sisters striving in the Lord all across the world. It's really a blessing. We love them dearly. We appreciate them. But living in the van, in this ministry, full-time, it causes us to not be settled. We're not sitting on a piece of land. We're not comfortable in a house or an apartment. We're not in one place. And as you read the scriptures and you see how Jesus moved with the disciples, he said he had no place to lay his head. Paul was a nomadic man. There was a time he rented a house when he was in house arrest and all that. But Paul was nomadic. And so we've come to realize that we're focused on the future, that which is eternal, because this life is fading. All of this stuff is, you know, that homestead of mine, I worked and labored so hard on that and built it up and sold it, and it's gone. And everything I built is going to burn up one day. It's pretty pointless if you really think about it when it comes to eternity. So future focused. Instead of living for material things and pleasure and comfort here, we're looking to eternity. The earthly things have passed away, have less meaning for us. And we see clearly and we know that we are aliens in this life. We have no resting place here. And you know what? We talk about this a lot. We have no city. Sister Amon and I have no city. We don't belong anywhere. We don't live any one place. No. And we talk about this a lot. Hebrews 13, 14. Ready? For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. So we're looking for that city to come. We're looking for that new Jerusalem to come down when Christ comes back and takes back the earth and sets up his kingdom. I want to be a janitor in God's kingdom if he lets me. That's what I want to do. And I want to strive for my king every day. And so we are future focused. We're looking, setting our mind on things above. We're looking every day, thinking about, striving for, focused on the kingdom of God. We're not focused on this earth. We're not focused on a homestead. We're not focused on a business. We're not focused on all this stuff. Now, Hebrews 13, 14, we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. That's that eternal city coming down. What a glorious thing to ponder, isn't it? It is. Now, I want to be clear. Those are my five top van dwelling reasons that I think it's really beneficial for the life of a Christian. But I want to be clear again. Van life is not the only way to live for Christ. I don't ever want to come across that way. I never want to make any of you feel bad that you live in an apartment or on a homestead or in a house. Never. I don't want to do that. I think now that you've heard my life and what I'm benefiting from and what I see in van life, ready? Here's the homework assignment for you all. I think you need to examine your life. You live in an apartment, you live in a house in a city, you live on a homestead somewhere, you live alone, you live with parents, you live with a husband or wife, you live with a family. I want you to go pray about, think about, fast over it. I want you to come up with your five top reasons that your current lifestyle is actually beneficial to serving Christ. Now, you can approach it from a totally different angle. Let me give you an example. Let's say somebody lives in an apartment in a city and they go, oh, that brother Tupos and Sister Amon, they get to travel and they get to meet all kinds of people and they're in van life and they're not stuck in one place. Well, guess what? I don't have the advantage you have. Ready? You live in an apartment in the middle of a city. There's 500,000 or a million people that live right next to you. You can go to work, get done with work, and you got ministry right there where you live. And you can stand in the street and you can hold gospel signs. You can hold out, give out gospel cards. You can open or preach if you're called to do that. Right there. You got a great advantage. I have to spend money to do it and move around all the time. You're already living in one place and you have every right to stand right there and live. And nobody can run you out right there and preach and share. Nobody can run you off. Now, for me to come to big cities and do ministry, it's really hard because our van is out of place. There's hardly anywhere to park. Remember, you need people, parking, and public access. We have to take transit in. So we tend to stay with the medium and smaller cities because it works better for our type of ministry. So God needs people in big cities. He does. So there you go. If you're a city dweller, here you go. You might say, well, I live on a homestead like you left. Okay, great. That's not sinful. Guess what? You get lots of time to pray. You get lots of time to ponder the things of God. You maybe have time to work on an online ministry. There's all kinds of advantages to every different lifestyle. So I think it would be great. This is why I did this. I didn't want to just puff up van life and tell you how what we do and how we find it to be so great. I wanted to encourage you. I took stock. Sister Amon and I did this together, took stock of what we thought were our top five. What's your top five in your current lifestyle? I know you can find five, maybe you find a lot more. And if you need help, email us. We'll help you. Now, last point I want to make. If you say, wow, I've prayed, I fasted, I've thought about it, I can't find any good reasons about my life, and you're really serious about that, and you really tried, email us. We'll try to help you. You know what? That'd be a good thing to look at and go, you know what? Maybe it's time I changed my life for Christ. Maybe the job I'm in is not where I should be. maybe my living arrangement, even though it's easy and I've always known it, maybe it's not where God wants me. Pray about it. Maybe God will move you. God will open doors. Maybe you need to start planning for the future and change things. I know change is scary. We've been through a lot of change in our life. We had a big house. We sold it, bought another house. We sold it, moved to Missouri. We sold that and went into business, or we had that. We went into business and travel. Then we sold that. We went into van life. We gave up our careers. I retired early. We've been through a lot of change. I retired 10 years before I could ever collect Social Security. Yeah, that's true. I have not worked for a company for about 10 years. Yeah. And we did have a business of our own for a few short years, but we decided we didn't need to keep making a bunch of money. If we lived frugal, we could go out and serve the Lord. And so ponder your life, ponder your situation, and see what you have, what benefits you have, and then play on those benefits. Use those benefits. Focus on those benefits. And if you really find, I don't have any benefits, then you need to make changes in your life. I hope that makes sense. No matter your living arrangement, whether it's good and you find 5 points and you go, great, I'm really edified now, or you go, man, this is terrible, I got to get out of this life. Okay, you got to get out of that life. Now, can I give you an example of one? Not long ago, I had a man email me. He wants to be a Christian. He wants to serve God. He's living with a woman, not married. She's not a believer. Can't marry her. And he's in a situation that doesn't have a lot of good advantages for his walk in Christ. And sadly, he did not want to do what would be the godly thing, and that was to leave and find his own place and forsake that relationship. And to my knowledge, he's still there with her. He actually had a child or two with her. And I told him, you'll have to leave, but still support your children, of course. But you can't marry an unbelieving woman. Because he said, no, we're not committed to each other. That's another long story. But anyway, he has to make changes. He has to forsake that life for Christ. So what do you have to forsake for Christ? What do me and Sister Amon still have to forsake for Christ? I hope this is a little bit of a practice, a little bit of a procedure, a little bit of a project for all of us to kind of look at our lives, how we live, what we're doing every day, and how can we polish it, make it better for the kingdom of God. So that's what I got for you. I hope that encourages you. My 5 great points of why I think being a van dweller is great for a Christian. You know, especially, I guess I said last point, I'll make another last point. Especially for young men, could be a young woman that are single, or a young couple that are married, no children, even couple children. Now, if you got 6, 8 children, van life gets hard because that's really crowded in a van for 6 children. You could make it with a couple children. You could do it. But if you're single or you're married, van life is a great way to get into ministry. You can work. You can travel. You can save up your money. You can do ministry. You can live frugal. You can grow. You can expand yourself. You really, in a year's time, I tell all these young men that contact me, you come and do street ministry with me and work. You got to work and support yourself unless you've saved up a bunch of money. You will grow in 6 months as much as in 10 years just working for a company and living in an apartment and not doing ministry. You will grow tremendously in street ministry. And very few men will do it because it's amazing. They'll say, where am I going to shower? Or what are people going to think? Or, oh, I don't know about that. And they don't want to kill their flesh. What was my points? Give up the freedoms. Kill their flesh, live frugal, right? Kill the flesh, live frugal, forsake this life, seek freedom in Christ, and be future focused. They don't want to do that. They want to live for this life now. And so go, ponder your life. You need help, let us know. What are those things in your life you should be focusing on so that you can grow and expand your joy, your peace, your service, your knowledge, your wisdom, your excitement, your zeal? What are those things in Christ? I hope this has helped you in that exercise. Hey, in that way, I hope this exercise has helped you. This has been Brother Two Posts. We love you all. We just got to a new town, did some street preaching, gospel sign flying today. We're working our way towards a bigger city, and we're going to be doing some preaching in a tourist area. And who knows what the Lord has for us. We're excited and we're just thankful for this life that Christ has given us. And you should be thankful for your life right where you are. Find those advantage points. If you don't have any, be ready to make changes. We are here to help you. Hey, we love you all. Check out our daily edification audio. Go to don'tperish.com. Check out the gospel. Make sure you're born of the gospel in Christ, shed blood, death, burial, repentance to him. Be born again by the Spirit of God. Walk in holiness and obedience all of your days and endure to the end. Check out all of our thousands of resources, street preaching, sisters, audios, articles, readings, teachings, pouring out to edify the saints because we love our Lord, our Master. We love his people. We love our neighbor. That's why we try to reach them with the gospel. Looking forward to hearing from some of you people via email. What are your points about your life that are really beneficial to you? Share them with us. And if you need help, let us know. We love you all. Till next time, have a glorious day. Repent and obey the gospel. Strive for the kingdom of God. He's so worthy. God be praised.